You are now listening to
Chakras and Shotguns.
Welcome back to Chakras and Shotguns. It's our fifth episode. I'm Mick.
And I'm Jen. Welcome back.
How you feeling today, baby?
I'm feeling pretty good.
You're looking good over there.
Well, thank you. You know, I've been trying to get inspired and be more creative and do some more projects and, you know, balancing out that divine masculine with that divine feminine, if you know what I mean.
I mean, yeah, it's looking good on you over there.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we were talking about that sacral energy today, so feeling a little sexy over here.
Ooh la
you know?
La.
Got the vibe going. We got the candles lit in here. y'all can't see it, but we're getting into our little sacral energy bag today.
Okay. So you want to get started on the breath work?
Yeah, let's do that first before we get into that main topic.
Okay. So if you're able, let's close our eyes and take in three cleansing breaths. As you inhale, I want you to unclench your jaw. I want you to remove your tongue from the roof of your mouth. And exhale. Let's do that again. A deep inhale. Inhale just a little bit more air. Exhale and sigh it out of your mouth. Our last cleansing breath together. Inhale deeply. And exhale. So now that we're conscious of our breath, we're going to do things a little differently today. And we're going to collectively set the intention of creativity. I want you to think about when you feel the most creative. Is it writing? Is it in the kitchen? Is it painting? Is it singing? I want you to visualize yourself in that moment. How do you feel? How do you feel in that space? Do you feel peaceful? Overjoyed, excited. If you feel that you haven't had the chance to be that creative lately, I want you to imagine how you would feel bringing new ideas and new energy into the world. I want you to actively feel that emotion in your body. Physically smile while we're doing this breath work, as you think about this vision that you've created. Now slowly open your eyes and let's go to the rest of the show.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, so I really wanted to do that particular visualization as we'll get into our main topic, but I really hope that everyone enjoyed that exercise together. I've been reading a lot about how our mind can distinguish between the past, present, and future, but our body actually can't tell time.
That's really interesting. I haven't read that book that you're describing yet. I'm excited to. But I think we can all kind of think about and remember a scary or a joyous time or an embarrassing moment from our past, and our mind knows it's the past, but a lot of times those moments can have physical reactions. You can mm-hmm. feel that embarrassment in your stomach, or you know, those butterflies you had during a joyous moment. Mm-hmm. So yes, this is a really interesting idea. Our mind knows that it's the past, but our body feels like it's happening now.
Exactly. So your body is actually triggering all of those hormones, all of those chemicals that come with something beautiful or something traumatic. So doing visualizations like this, it's it can be really good for us on a cellular level. It's something you can do anytime or together with your meditation practice. It's really, I mean, it's fancy daydreaming. Let yourself daydream and let yourself feel those emotions that those daydreams bring. You're literally telling the universe what you want it to bring to you. You're changing your frequency by just like you're vibrating higher with those more elevated emotions of joy and positivity and peace and love. And, you know, you're literally changing your vibration.
Yeah, I think we should definitely all try to work that in. I feel like with this kind of spiritual practices, all these things we're told to try to do every day. So it can be a little daunting. I know for me, I'm like, I need to make sure I go ground. I need to make sure I meditate. But I think if you can try to work in and kind of rotate some of these different exercises day to day or week to week, it can overall help you to improve your mental and spiritual health.
Yeah, for sure.
And physical health.
I do it sometimes when I first wake up and I'm starting to think about everything I need to do that day, like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. And then I'm like, let's take a moment to just like think of something that I want, that I desire, that I would love to see happen, and how I feel in that moment.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get my body to align itself with that future moment.
Okay.
We'll talk a little bit more that I think about, like, when we think about manifestation.
For sure.
Or some of those other topics. But this was kind of like a quick little taste of those types of visualizations.
Okay. I'm over here manifesting some things for later for me and you. Oh, since we're talking about this sacral stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, so as we mentioned, we're continuing our series all about the chakras. We covered the root chakra in our last episode.
And we're moving on up.
Yes, we are.
To the sacral chakra, which is also called the second chakra, sex chakra, the social chakra, and the creation chakra. It's located just below your navel, and the color associated with it is orange.
So in contrast to the root chakra, which we talked about being referred to as the tribal chakra, the sacral chakra is called the partnership chakra. So I mentioned the book Anatomy of the Spirit in our last episode. The author, Carolyn Miss, she describes how the energy of that sacral chakra becomes distinct around age 7. And it's when we start to shift our mindset and our energy from kind of solely wanting to fit in with our tribe and kind of obeying tribal authority. And there's a shift to developing more of these personal relationships.
That's really cool because I had never really thought about, you know, age 7, like your teeth are falling out, your baby teeth. And, you know, you're developing, you're becoming, you know, you're slowly developing child development into an adult. And so I never thought that maybe our energy centers are doing the same thing.
Yeah, I found that interesting, too. I hadn't seen that really talked about in other stuff I read. So one of the reasons why I really like that book, and I kind of come back to it often.
Cool. We also talked when we talked about the root chakra, about the connection between mind, body, and spirit. So there are a few areas where the sacral chakra connects with your mind. Of course, sexuality, sensuality. Given the location, this makes sense. The sacral houses that carnal sexual energy. It also governs pleasure, passion, and creativity. And get your minds out of the gutter. Pleasure and passion are also, you know, they don't have to be all about sex.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can be passionate about pretty much anything.
Art,
yeah, exactly. You know, knowledge that you're going after. You can be passionate about science. You know, I know some folks who are super into that.
Nerds.
Yeah.
No, I'm a nerd.
My people. No, but as you were reading that, it's funny. I was earlier kind of doing my sacral chakra research and was kind of daydreaming while I was listening to some music. I'm a big hip hop rap fan. And I just like got stuck on this idea of like, what if there were rappers that represented each chakra? like, what would the sacral chakra, who would the sacral chakra be?
Pretty Ricky.
Interesting. I mean, technically, they're more like singers than rappers. But okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
What about Plies?
I like Plies. I was thinking Juicy J. Maybe Meg Thee Stallion. Andre 3000. What do you think about that one?
Yes, if we're taking it out of the sexual into the creativity.
I mean, he talks a little sexual too, you know. He's got the sensuality going. You know, The Love Below was all about, like, you know, being sensual and sexual. But yes. Also being creative and funny. And
yes.
So.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of random. Maybe we'll do like a Instagram post or something where we break down each of the seven chakras and assign a rapper to each. That'd be fun.
Moving on. Biologically, the sacral chakra is related to the kidneys and the reproductive organs. It's also the second primal chakra. So if you listen to the root chakra episode, we talked about that being the first chakra of these like primal hunters and gatherers, what's necessary for survival type chakras. And so,
yeah,
thinking about the sacral, reproduction is essential for human survival. So
I think it kind of goes back to what we talked about with the Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
Right? So those kind of bottom places on the pyramid, we're talking about like basic survival. So yeah, again, I think that's that same idea there, where the sacral and the root kind of have some similarities there.
Mm.
Yeah.
So now we've covered the physical attributes of the sacral chakra, as well as, you know, what emotional things that it governs. What are some of the imbalances? Like, what are the things that pop up when you have an imbalance in your sacral chakra?
Yeah. So think about some of the like darker sides of passion, you know, jealousy, possessiveness.
Ooh.
Like Lifetime movies.
Ooh.
There was those movies that have come out that all have kind of like the same theme. There's one with like Beyonce.
Obsessed.
And like Idris Elba. Yeah, Obsessed. There's one with like Michael Ealy that came out recently. It's like always kind of like the same idea where it's fatal attraction. Somebody is in love with one of the married partners and stalks them. So yeah, that whole idea is probably an imbalance of sacral energy there.
A quick side note. Why are Lifetime movies titled that way? She didn't know.
I don't know, baby.
The neighbor upstairs. It's like, why is it like that?
It draws you in.
I guess it does.
It's marketing. So yeah, other emotional imbalances, it could show up as low self-esteem, unhealthy expressions of sexuality. I think in general, it's really about this feeling of being destabilized and detached. And then even some sources I looked at, they kind of broke up sacral imbalances into two categories. And I'm sure you could probably do this for every chakra, but they talked about like an underactive sacral chakra and an overactive sacral chakra. So underactive being like you're not getting enough energy into that chakra. And so underactive indications were things like insecurity, lack of desire, lack of creativity, and fear of pleasure, which I thought was an interesting phrase. And then overactive, you know, you're getting too much energy there. There were things like emotional overreactions, aggression, codependency, excessive emotional attachment, anxiety. So yeah, I thought those were some of the things I saw.
Yeah, when we were putting this episode together, we came up with the title Too Hot to Handle. Because of the subject matter, as well as we were watching the show at the time. So we were watching season 2 on Netflix. If you're not familiar with Too Hot to Handle, the premise is they get these really, really attractive 20-somethings to live in a mansion on an island somewhere. And I think they set it up as like it's some type of dating show. So they all think they're going to have these like summer flings. And the twist is that they actually can't have any type of sexual contact with each other or themselves for 3 weeks. And then they'll win this prize. So it's like $100,000. But every time someone messes up, like even has a kiss or some heavy petting, they lose money from the collective pot. So, of course, I think the setup, and especially like the way that the people talk about themselves, which I'm sure is like producer influence, is that they're all horn dogs who can't keep their hands to themselves. Well, they can't even keep their hands to themselves. But anyways, who can't like
refrain?
Yeah. Yes, who can't refrain from sexual activity for a very short time period?
Yeah. So I think as we were kind of watching it, we were kind of buying into like the narrative, like, oh, these people are like so horny and like maybe they have overactive sacral chakras. But then
right.
it kind of like had us talking back and forth about, is it really something wrong with them, or have we just been like kind of conditioned to view sexual activity or like promiscuity in a way that is like negative and like it should be something that people refrain from? I don't know, like what were we kind of thinking about that?
Yeah, like as we were digging deeper and like unpacking the show, like beyond us just watching it like before we went to bed or whatever, I think a lot of them were using sex to, like, a lot of them had commitment issues.
Yeah.
And so, like, they didn't want to talk about emotions. Like, that wasn't something that they talked about, men and women. Like, they just did not want to talk about emotions. They didn't want to get into some of the deeper things. Some of them had childhood trauma, like children of divorce or something like that going on. Or someone had breached their trust even as an adult. And so we'll talk about it more in later episodes, but I started thinking that maybe it was something was going on with their heart, like their heart chakra, like their heart was blocked.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I thought it was interesting watching that series. Like, they ended up bringing in a couple of different kind of spiritual healers to kind of help them work through some of their issues.
Mm-hmm.
They did like a fire ritual. They did like some visualization work. Mm-hmm. They did like some like exercises that to kind of have them confront some of their insecurities. So, yeah, you know, surface level is a show about like these horny 20 somethings, but like it kind of had like a deeper connection to spirituality as well, as you kind of opened your third eye and examined it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, so go check it out. It's a fun show. I think that, you know, I think we're sex positive. And so as long as people are being safe and adults consenting.
Yeah, I say, you know, check it out. Let us know what you guys think about the show.
Yeah.
Email us. We love to kind of continue that conversation on really examining if they're unhealthy in their sexual expressions or if we've just been conditioned to say that the expression of that energy is somehow wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, well, I won't spoil it, but if money was on the line...
You could keep it in your pants.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Anyways, so Mick, what are some signs of signs physically that there is a sacral chakra imbalance?
Yeah. So from what I read, it talked a lot about sexual and reproductive health issues popping up. There were fibroid issues mentioned.
Mm.
Urinary tract problems, kidney dysfunctions, and then kind of from a skeletal bone issue, your hip, your pelvis, and your lower back having some issues. Once you have your sacral out of balance,
and that seems like, I know we don't want to confuse you, and like as we were looking into this, it can be very confusing because there is a lot of overlap with the root.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about back pain, we had Jen's story time on back pain.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we mentioned it earlier, like there's like the same kind of carnal energy that's happening in the root and the sacral. So you will see some overlap in terms of physical and even some of the emotional signs of imbalance.
Mm. And on the fibroid issues, I feel like, unfortunately, it's almost a Black woman rite of passage to have fibroids. Like, I hear about it all the time. It pops up on, I watch a lot of reality TV, guys. It pops up on reality TV where Black women are featured. Like, I've seen multiple Black women on Bravo dealing with fibroids or addressing fibroids. And, you know, anecdotally, nobody really understands why that affects Black women more. And look, and I don't know the statistics of it, but there, I haven't heard anything about, like, we produce more of this hormone or that. And so from a spiritual perspective, is it worth having the conversation of, are Black women finding time to be creative, to feel desire, to feel joy, to feel sexual, to feel passionate? Or are we constantly trying to refill everyone else's cup before filling our own?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I think we should probably see if we can get like a healer on that can possibly talk about that. Maybe someone that's worked with women who have fibroids and what kind of things they have done to kind of help women to deal with some of those issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
There may be some interesting things there with the chakras that they talk about.
Yeah. Especially with the sexuality conversation. I think that a lot of Black women get feel a lot of shame around sex and aren't really encouraged societally to explore their sexuality. I think we're seeing a shift. I think that later generations might have a better handle on it, but it's an interesting conversation for sure.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about how we can get our sacral chakra back in balance. First, I think crystals. We talked a little bit about some crystals in the root chakra episode. For the sacral, you want to think about orange stones. So tiger's eye, moonstone, and carnelian. And those do come in different colors. So look for the orange varieties of those. But those are great for the sacral chakra. You can wear them as jewelry. Jen and I have a lot of bracelets that we wear with different stones on them. So highly recommend those. You can also put them in your pocket.
Or your bra.
Yeah, you could definitely put them in your bra. I'm sure you have some moments where you've done that.
I'll be in a work meeting and something's going left. And I was like, we need to block that energy. And I will pop a crystal in my bra off video.
For real sure. Quick. And then lastly, you could also meditate with crystals. We have a lot of palm stones. And so we'll hold them in our hands while we're enjoying our meditation to really connect with the energy of that crystal.
Yeah. So palm stones are kind of like they're flat, pretty oval shape. So they fit really comfortably flat in your palm versus tumbled stones will literally tumble out of your hand while you're meditating. So I like palm stones for that.
Yeah. So those are some crystal recommendations there. I think secondly, try to find some time for creativity. You know, a lot of us, we feel the responsibility of being adults, parents, if you have kids, you know, having to shoulder that responsibility. And sometimes it can feel like there's no time for joy. Like you can't really take time to just play. So, you know, I think for us, we are big believers in raising our vibration through joy and finding time to carve out where we just, just really feel like a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's grabbing one of those adult coloring books or going outside and, you know, playing basketball or whatever it is that connects you back to your youth, do that. Find that time to really be creative.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, you got the message to find joy every day and how you received that?
Yeah. So during COVID, one of the like readings that I had with our psychic medium friend, she told me that I needed to find joy every day. And it was like a really tough assignment. And I just couldn't figure out like how to do it. I was like, I feel like I'm finding moments of joy, but like mindlessly watching TV or a movie isn't really like joyous. Like it's kind of mindless entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so I was like kind of really struggling, like, what is it that brings me joy? And like part of that is travel. And we were in COVID and I couldn't really do that. And like seeing my friends was also like a big thing for me in terms of joy. So I really struggled with that. Yeah.
Did you find anything?
Yeah, Jen. So I think what I did was I went and kind of connected with some things that are from my childhood. So spent some time with comic books. I don't know if you remember the charges of me going to the comic book store or yes. ordering them from Amazon and, yes. and checking those out. So that was a little nerd passion of mine when I was younger. And then also just tried to like find ways to get outside and play in the grass. Those are probably the two things that I did to try to like reconnect and try to find some joy, even though I was on lockdown and couldn't do like the main activities that I was really into.
I love that. I love that you went on this path of self-discovery because I think it threw you a little bit. You were like, I do things for fun. Like, I know I do things for fun. And parsing out like things that we do to be mindless, like I'm always on my phone, like mindlessly playing random games. And is that regenerative? Is that joyful? Probably not. It makes me turn my mind off, but is that good enough? You know, I think that it's an important, I think we all need to check in sometimes, parse out the things that we have to do, the things that we want to do, and then even within the things that we want to do, what's really bringing us joy?
Yeah, I think we should all ask that question because it kind of threw me off at first when I kind of got that message. I'm like, wait, I thought I was finding joy. I feel generally pretty happy, but I wasn't really like honing in on joy the way and being more mindful of it. So, yeah.
So another way that you can get your sacral energy back in balance, opening up your hips. So many of us have tight hips and, you know, especially as we're getting older. And then I think a lot of us got a lot more sedentary through COVID. So we're just not as limber. And you also store a lot of emotion in your hips. So the more flexible we are, the more energy can move, the more those energy centers are free flowing and that energy is like moving and hopefully we want it to move all the way up. And opening up your hips is a great way to work on that energy imbalance. So from a yoga perspective, I like reclined pigeon pose. It's gentle, especially on the joints. Because some of us got some old knees, honey. So I'm going to walk us through this, but we'll be sure to put some links in the show notes because if you need a visual, I get it. So what you'll do is lie flat on your back. You'll bend your knees and place the soles of your feet on the floor. Pick up your right foot and you'll place your right ankle on your left knee. So it'll be a figure four formation. You'll lift your left leg either straight up to the sky, like your heel, like you're trying to stand on the ceiling, or you can have your leg in a 90 degree angle. So like you're trying to stand on a wall. And you'll gently pull your left thigh towards your face with your hands. So you'll feel this like in your hip flexor, and you'll really start to feel that start to open up. You can hold this for 5 deep breaths and then switch sides. So, like I said, I know it's a podcast, so you can't really see what I'm doing. So we'll be sure to put a link in the show notes for you guys. You can also skip the yoga and just dance. So you're moving your hips and loosening up that area of the body, but you're also feeling sexy and confident and you can get creative and just kind of freestyle. So all of those things that we talked about, like all of those emotions in the sacral chakra of getting creative and feeling passionate and alive and sexy and feeling joy, you can definitely get that through dance. Like dance like nobody's looking. And if they're looking, who cares? So you're really trying to get to the essence of what a balanced chakra feels like. And I think dance is a great way to do it.
Yeah, there's definitely been a day or two where I look up our office window and see Jen in the backyard just kind of dancing. I'm like, oh, okay.
I was having a whole ass dance party. A whole dance party. And I had headphones on. I was wearing flip-flops. I know they were click-clacking on that concrete, but I did not care. I was sitting in the office and I literally felt like I had ants in my pants. I was like, I have to move and I have to dance right now.
I'm going to go back and look at our security cameras, see if I can find that footage.
Don't do me like that.
So
I used to do dance parties when I was single, like living in my apartment. And I would dance. Like, I would just come home and just, like, dance my ass off. And, you know, I don't like saying life got in the way, because life is life. But you start piling on things that you think are more important. And, like, joy is important. It's so important.
For sure. A couple other things I wanted to mention. So, affirmations. We talked about those in the Root Chakra episode. And so, affirmations specifically for the sacral are things like, I am open to receive. I am passionate. I am a creative being. And I am at peace. So try saying those in the mirror and really connecting with that sacral energy. And then lastly, we talked about grounding as a part of the root chakra and kind of getting connected with the earth, the element associated with the root is earth. But for the sacral, the element is water. So connecting with water can help to get you back in balance from a sacral chakra standpoint. So think about taking a bath, which I know we mentioned taking Epsom salt baths as a grounding method for the root, but you can almost kind of get a 2-for-1 by taking that bath because you're connecting with water as well to really help to balance that sacral. And then also finding ways to get closer to water in nature. So spending time at the beach, going to a lake, and really just sitting by the water and connecting with the energy there can help to get you back in balance.
Nice. So I think that's all we have for the sacral chakra today. Some parting words. I want everyone that's listening to know that they deserve joy. They deserve to feel creative. They deserve to feel passion, to be passionate, to feel desired, to be desired. And take that with you and remember that. And, you know, start feeling that sacral energy.
Yeah. Ooh. Get sexy with it. All right. So before we go, I did want to do another segment. So it's going back to our must read list. And today I have a preparedness book that I wanted to leave with you guys. So I know a lot of folks are new to kind of preparedness, haven't done a ton of research. And so I think there's a great book that kind of summarizes a lot of the things that we're going to cover in our episodes. So the book is called When the Grid Goes Down. It's by Tony Nestor. It's only about 75 pages. He hits on kind of the big elements of preparedness and survival. I mean, by the title, you can tell it's about, you know, being in a place like a city or a suburban area that's on the grid, and kind of what do you do in a situation when it goes down. And so he has a chapter on water. He has one on food. He has one that talks through like kind of shelter, which is, you know, all about like lighting, heating, cooling. He gets into first aid. And so I think it's just a really good resource that doesn't take a lot of time to read through. And it's, you know, pretty inexpensive book that you can grab and gives you some really great tips. So I highly recommend it. It's one that I reference and go back to make sure that we're covered from a lot of different angles.
Nice. I love it. Thanks, Mick, for sharing that book. As always, if you have any questions, any topics that you want us to talk about, please email us at chakrasandshotguns@gmail.com. And hit the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review. All that good stuff. And then go and be creative. Or get sexy. Do what you want to do. I don't know.
Yes, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day. Namaste.
Namaste.